Right, I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to talk about a couple of different things that are very foundational, that have been polluted and been people have used them to lay a foundation that produces an unstable doctrine. And just there's two or three different things here. Let's turn in the beginning here to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God saith, hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The tree that was in the midst of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree that man was not to partake of was the tree of the knowledge between good and evil. Man was created in an innocent state. He was thoroughly perfect in God's eyes. Said he was, after he was created, that he was good. In verse, let's go on down to verse 3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God saith, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and her with her, and she did eat, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We'll stop there just for a moment. Anyway, this tree that they were not to partake of was the knowledge of good and evil. I want to compare that with the doctrine of total depravity. The doctrine of total depravity, that man is totally depraved. That there is, the idea behind that is that There is nothing that a man could do that is good. One of the verses that's most often quoted is Isaiah 64, that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But everything that we would do is as filthy rags. That's quoted as being said by God, because it's in the Bible. But if you look at that and read it, in Isaiah 64, let's just go there and look. Well, I may have my reference on here. No, it's verse 6, Isaiah 64. Let's begin in verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, and the mountains might flow down at thy presence. First of all, who is saying this? It's Isaiah. This is a prayer that Isaiah is praying. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for thee. Does that verse sound familiar? Sounds like one in 1 Corinthians, doesn't it, where it says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath created for them. We'll turn there just a little bit. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. Verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hands. This is Isaiah saying a prayer. It is not God making a proclamation that we cannot do what is right. It is Isaiah bemoaning the condition of his people. They didn't care about God. They had turned their back on him. If you look at the prophets, the very reason and the purpose of all the prophets was to tell the people and remind them of how they had turned from God. The prophets were men of God. And there were people during Elijah's time. Elijah thought he was the only one left. And God told him, no, there's over 700 people or 7,000 people that said, that had not yielded, that had not kneeled, had not kneeled to Baal, had bent their knee to Baal to worship him. Elijah didn't know about all of them, but God revealed to him that there was some. That verse there that we're talking about in Corinthians, is it Corinthians or Romans? That eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things that... Let me just turn there. Thought I had it written down, but I don't. First Corinthians 2:9. Did have it. I just didn't trust myself. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now read verse 10. See, we're told all the time, verse 9, man doesn't understand, and that's a verse that is used to try to encourage us of things in the future. To encourage us about, well, man can't even understand what heaven's going to be like. It's how this verse is used. But when you look at verse 10, it said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Whenever Isaiah was using the verse, he was talking about a wicked people. He was talking about people who had turned their back on God, and he was asking for mercy. And he's saying, Lord, we're all just filthy things, and we can't understand your ways and what you're trying to teach us. But then verse 10, when you come to where it's referenced in the New Testament, same scripture basically, but it says, but God hath revealed them unto us. There's the difference between depravity and the truth. Depraved is someone who has no choice. They're just wicked. And basically, they can't even help themselves. They have no choice. You know who is to blame for that? Or you know who gets the blame for that? If we're made and created totally depraved? It's God. So that whenever we witness to people or we talk to people and they say, we're just sinners. We're just born this way and we can't help ourselves. What they're saying is, God made me this way and it's all his fault anyway. And so that's why Jesus died, so that I could be saved. What they're actually doing is blaming God for their sin. That's exactly what's happening there. What they've done is made a bad God and poor man. And so Jesus was, what he was sent for basically was to come and fix God's mistake. That's what salvation is to the majority of the people in the world. God made a big mistake because he created us bad. And so it's all his fault. And so Jesus came to fix that mistake that God made. They've got a bad God, poor people, and now God is just trying to fix his mistake. If you break it all down, that's just where it comes to. Not very many people are going to say that they would believe that right up front, but that's where their doctrine will lead them whenever they follow that total depravity. The problem is that in the Garden of Eden, God planted a tree there that gave them the knowledge to choose between good and evil. They gave them the knowledge to choose between good and evil. Whenever man partook of that fruit, from then on, he had the choice to do good and evil. He wasn't totally depraved. He became a rebellious, wicked sinner who chose God, who chose the world, and chose to love his sin above God. God revealed himself to those who would hear him. Man is in darkness. The light has come into darkness, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That knowledge between good and evil is present in anything in the world. There's good people and there's bad people. You get into politics, and there's people that are pretty good people, and they're pretty bad people whenever we look at them. Because some of them, because of their knowledge of good and evil, want to choose a higher path. And there's some that choose evil. But all of them have chosen their sin above God. That's what sends men to hell. Because God offered mercy so that men could return to God's will, and they chose darkness. You know, you can be trained to do what's right. You can be trained to choose and make right choices in this world. You can be trained to live upright. But that doesn't mean you're choosing God or that you're choosing to walk in the light. It just means that someone along the way chose to exercise the choice between good and evil, and they chose good. We have a choice. The idea in the world is that God is the problem. You see, most people in the world think, well, and we hear it, well, they're a pretty good person. And you know, most of the teachings, most of the things you hear about people in the world is that basically, man is good. He's just made some bad choices. He just needs a little nudge to be going in the right direction, and he'll be all right. That's humanism. In reality, man is a sinner. See, we've broken down sinners into people who just reap fruit of doing bad things, or they're producing fruit of doing bad things. But a sinner is a rebellious, wicked person inside of God. Man is wicked. They're not good. They're evil. But they can make good choices, or they can make bad choices. But they're wicked because whenever it comes down to light, and a man rejects light and turns away from God's way, right there is their wickedness exposed. Light has come and they will not walk in it. Whenever we talk about, but it hath been revealed unto us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but God has revealed. Revealed is a revelation. The book of Revelation reveals or rolls back some of the things that are going on in the spiritual realm or will happen in the future. Revealed. That's how God has revealed himself to us, through our consciences. He reveals himself to us. Man's desire is to fill himself with knowledge, to make one wise. Satan tempted him to make him wise, to fill himself with knowledge. Today, doctrine and theology means understanding the things of God. To the disciples, doctrine meant walking in Christ's teachings. Doing versus knowing. Today, we have doctrines, theologies, and eschatology, and all kinds of different things of how we can explain and know all this. It's nothing more than the desire to be made wise. But to the apostles and the people throughout history that truly wanted to know about God and walk in his ways, doctrine is the teachings of Christ and following them and walking in them. We can learn more by one revelation from God than we can in all the studies in the world. Light. It's amazing how many times people will argue about being a sinner. And if you keep talking to them long enough, and if they're even partially honest, they'll soon come to the place and they'll acknowledge that I know what God wants from me, and I don't want to give it up right now. You see, scriptural's not, understanding God is not a knowledge issue, it's a moral issue. Sin is not just a list of do's and don'ts, it's a moral issue of whether I'm going to seek the truth and light or whether I'm going to stick my head in the sand and stay in darkness because I don't want to hear it. Because this is as far as I want to go. I don't want to go past my comfort zone in walking with God. I'm happy right here where I'm at. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to go any further. We've got a nice little church. Let's just all just get along and stay together. Let's not push on whenever light comes to us. Whenever there's something wrong, and it'll get me in trouble for finding out because I'll have to choose one way or another. Or if I say anything, well, I'll fall out of grace. Maybe in my family, I'll fall out of grace. Maybe with our neighbors. Maybe in the church. So I'll just pretend like nothing's going on and we'll just overlook it all. I'll just take a little bit of darkness. What we're doing whenever we choose those paths is saying that Jesus came but I'm going to stay in darkness. Light came into the world but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, the greatest calamity on the judgment day is not how a man destroyed his life in sin. It's not going to be to those who just lived it up in pleasure that God's going to rain his wrath upon them. It's going to be to those who God revealed his truth to and they said, no, I'm not going to do it. They revealed his son to them. That God revealed his son to them. And they say, no. I don't want him. What greater sin is there than to think about what Christ has done for us? How he came from heaven to rescue us from darkness. And then he shows us a little light and we say, forget it, I don't want it. What greater sin is there? God is good. Man is wicked. Man is evil. But yet too many times our theology turns it all around and makes God to be the bad one. Just coming to save us poor sinners. Men hate God because they love their sin. They love themselves. That's why Jesus said, "Except a man come after me, take up his cross and follow me and deny himself, he cannot be my disciple." The tree that was planted gave the knowledge of good and evil. Give us the choice between right and wrong, black and white, doing right, doing wrong. God came in Christ to reveal light to us. And to turn against that light and to walk in darkness is utter wickedness to God. That's to spit in God's face. That's to nail Christ right to the cross and say, "I don't want him. I'd rather be young and have my fun now. I'll maybe get right before I go to heaven or before I die." God is not going to be mocked. Whenever we present the gospel to someone, our place is to bring someone to the place where they see that they have to make a choice between Christ or them, between living for themselves or living for Jesus. And when that's revealed to them, we've done all that we can do. It's amazing how quick, after we talk to someone, I just want to give a little encouragement. Whenever you get someone to that point, don't go any further with them. They'll come up with another question every time. Just stop and say, "No, you have to face this question first." Until you come to grips with this question here, you don't need any more knowledge. You don't need any more wisdom. Right there's your problem. And until you deal with that one way or another, it ain't going to help you either way to know more about it or to get another question answered or to be able to put another doctrine under your belt. You've got to make a choice. You or Jesus. Repent or perish. And leave them with that. Leave them with that. There's nothing more. We've done all that we can do when we get them to that place. And if we try to push on and go further, we're doing them harm. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Father, have understanding, God. Lord, that it's through the preaching of your word, Lord, it's a mystery to us, but it's through preaching that you've revealed yourself unto us, God. And I pray that you'd just help us have wisdom, Father. Lord, that you'd send forth laborers into the harvest, God. But Lord, that we would be full of wisdom, Father, and be prepared, Lord, to be a help, Lord. God, I just thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.